The New York Times app has all this stuff that you may not have seen.
The way the tabs are at the top with all of the different sections.
I can immediately navigate to something that matches what I'm feeling.
I go to games always.
Doing the mini, doing the Wordle.
I loved how much content it exposed me to, things that I never would have thought to turn to a news app for.
This app is essential.
The New York Times app. All of the times, all in one place. Download it now at nytimes.com/app.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your Nueva Y'all late night of music, review, and criticism. We're live. It's the Bad Bunny halftime show at the Super Bowl postgame. I'm John Caramonica. I'm the critic.
I am Joe Coscarelli, and I am the reporter.
Joe, the halftime show just finished a few minutes ago. I feel like I can comfortably say right off the top, it is not what I anticipated it would be. And obviously, it's a bit of a fool's task, I think, to have an anticipation or a specific set of expectations going into an event of this scale, of this political valence, potentially, of this footprint. Tell me a little bit about where you stand in terms of your shock level, because I think I have my shock level is high and my curiosity level is peaked and maybe a little bit head scratched.
I don't feel shocked. I feel like that was, for better or worse, the live rendition of the commercial beforehand. There was the Bad Bunny Apple commercial saying the world will dance. It featured Bad Bunny dancing with an array of different kinds of people, different ages, different races, genders, styles, with the message the world will dance. It was a message of unity. Which we got from him at the end in a big billboard that said the only thing stronger than hate is love. And I feel like that energy was just exploded onto a well-designed stage or intricately designed stage.
Yeah. I mean, I will say the thing that I am immediately struck by, we often think of these halftime shows as broadcasts out to the world. They're out to the stadium, of course, but they're out to the world. They're to the television. They're to half a billion or a billion people out watching. It's interesting to me that this show starts, the first 2 to 3 minutes, entirely walled off, right? I mean, obviously there's cameras and you're seeing it on television, but they're surrounded by plants. All the activity that's happening on the ground level, like at field level, is actually technically walled off from the stadium. It actually felt like an effort to talk about protected space and say, here is something that is intimate, that is personal, and that is actually not quite ready to be shared with the world. And then 2 or 3 minutes in on like the second or third song, all of a sudden it opens up. And then you get this big narrative happening. But I was struck by that choice of this huge stage. And then what's happening is actually, it's just me and the guys. It's just me and the girls. I'm hanging out. I have the taco vendor. I'm getting the piraguas, like so on and so forth. That to me was, felt pointed. Like, I don't want to overread, because I think the sort of tendency with a halftime show, I mean, we saw this last year with Kendrick, the tendency is to overread every tiny gesture for political meaning. But I do think that the shift from an internal narrative to an external narrative was an important thing that happened here.
But why were Jessica Alba and Alex Earl invited to the party?
Allegedly. Also Cardi B.
Cardi B was
no John Hamm, despite predictions.
Despite his broadcasting of his fandom on airmail. He really wanted an invite to the casita.
Yeah.
No, I think everything you're saying is true, but it so closely mirrors what Bad Bunny did at his Puerto Rico residency, down to the little house party, the straw hats, the plants, the everything was hyper local.
Yep.
Puerto Rico. That was the initial bombardment of images and nods to local things. I think we're going to talk about the political statements made here and what forms they took.
Right.
I was struck right away by Bad Bunny's outfit. He was wearing cream on cream, sort of all white football jersey, last name on the back. The number was 64.
Yep.
64, important in this case, because that was what the government of Puerto Rico initially claimed was the death toll from Hurricane Maria. people felt like they were downplaying it. Mm-hmm. There were protests in which people put shoes, government buildings to represent all of their lost loved ones, yep. show how high the death toll really was mm-hmm. in the thousands. Bad Bunny came out years later and said he put his own shoes there. He joined the protest. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing you saw from him. And that was
before the show even started.
Right.
In the walk up
during the commercial break.
Yeah.
And I think what he was doing was bringing Puerto Rican excellence to the world stage. Mm-hmm. You saw food, you saw jewelry, you saw boxing,
dance,
lots of dance. Was that a good halftime show?
I'm not 100% sure. Again, when we're thinking about these kind of like huge halftime show epics of years past, like I thought a lot about Prince's halftime show mm-hmm. and how Prince, much like Bad Bunny, this is not a band. This is one individual doing the show solo. Bad Bunny, we'll get to Lady Gaga in a second. Or not. And Prince somehow, via, dare I say, exaggerated shadow, managed to make a show that was actually huge scale.
Sure.
I felt like there was something resolute and small about this. In a way, it reminded me a little bit of The Weeknd's halftime show and Usher's halftime show that were very, very much about micro things. The Weeknd, obviously, is COVID era. It's kind of like get a mulligan on that one. But
that's a polite way to put it. I mean, the Weeknd, not the showman that Usher nor Bad Bunny.
No, but the Usher one, like I remember thinking at the moment, very much a technician's approach to a huge scaled event. This felt like a technician's approach, but Bad Bunny's not a dancer like Usher or even like a hyper technical singer, but he is a technician of gesture. He is a technician of reference.
Sure.
And so to me, look, we were in the room watching and saying, this is very Broadway. Like this is, you know,
say it's
giving Lin-Manuel. Like there's some aspect of Bad Bunny narrating a series of events using his songs as a through line to tell a story about Puerto Rican history and excellence. You said excellence, but to me, it's also about Puerto Rican history and conflict. It's about tension as well. And if we're going to talk about the political framing of this show, it's literally bringing some of those things that feel very specific and local narrative wise, bringing them into a macro audience once, especially the first two or three minutes passed.
I want to get into the politics, what was there subtly, what was there less subtly, and what wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But I do think to linger just a minute on pure performance mm-hmm. felt messy to me. It felt like you wanted Bad Bunny to do as much moving as Usher when that is not how Bad Bunny performed. Yeah, Bad Bunny is not a trained dancer or mm-hmm. roller skater from childhood. Like Usher covered a lot of ground. Like if you imagine who had the most steps like on their Apple Watch mm-hmm. during the Super Bowl, it's like Beyonce and Usher near the top, right? I think Bad Bunny is challenging them on step count, but I don't know that he needed to be as active as he was. Like there were moments in this where I felt like it because he was asked to do so much physically, the vocals were a little up and down.
Yeah, sure.
They were choppy. You know, he starts with Titi Me Preguntó. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you could feel him trying to hit his marks to get from point A to point Z.
Sort of like moving, but again, ultimately moving within the maze of the of the set.
There was something about it that felt like they were still rehearsing it because there were so many mm-hmm. moving parts. And he never really got to like lock in because he always had to get to the next set piece.
Okay, so I think I had a similar feeling to you, but I may be theorizing it slightly differently, which is like, I think when we're watching a Super Bowl halftime show, we're very much trained to look at the performer and the center and saying that person, all the action resides in that individual. And I think by design, what we just saw was communal.
Definitely.
It was vast.
Definitely.
It was historical. It was sociopolitical. And it wasn't about Bad Bunny as an individual avatar of anything. It was about him as a aggregator of a number of things, whether it's, again, historical references, political references, or just simply cultural touchstones. And so I think what you're referring to is there's a lot happening. It's him kind of almost like, it's like you're the only person on the dance floor. And you're just like, come on, like you, get out of here. You know, everybody, sure, come on. And I think, yes, if you're looking at Bad Bunny and being like, why am I not just getting more of this guy? Like the most famous man on the planet. Why am I just not getting more of this guy? It's because he is at every turn kind of defying that and saying it's not really about me. It's about this. It's about what happened with the blackouts. It's about Tonita. It's about boxers and the jewelry salespeople and the taco. It's about all of us. And maybe that's a tougher thing to communicate in a televised single person 12 to 13 minute performance on a football field.
I do think it was a message of unity. It was a collective love and joy. You had this plot line, this narrative plot line, mm-hmm, of a couple getting engaged, and then
the child shows up and he gets the Grammy
at the end. Yep. Yeah, there's a wedding in between. I did appreciate that they acknowledged that Die With a Smile was only made to be performed at weddings. Lady Gaga is the wedding singer at what appeared to be a fictional wedding.
We'll find out later.
Yeah, like, sure. But she was doing Die With a Smile with a Latin beat behind it, which didn't really work for me.
I don't know why that happened.
Yeah.
Well, I really.
Let's come back to the guests. All right.
Okay. We keep being like, we're going to come back to it.
We were going to come back to the guests. Because maybe this is a good segue. Yeah. I think the other guest, Ricky Martin,
yes,
made one of the more overt political references,
yes,
in the show by performing Hawaii. Yeah, mm-hmm, which is the Bad Bunny song from Debí Tirar Más Fotos, mm-hmm, about not wanting statehood.
Yeah.
I don't want what happened to, yeah, Hawaii to happen to Puerto Rico.
Anti-imperialism.
Sure.
Sure.
And Ricky Martin performing in the plastic chair, this symbol from the cover of the album that has become, you know, this is a message of like self-sufficiency, but also of Latin American unity. And I think that much more than giving any airtime to President Trump, to ICE specifically, what did you make of the way he used the stage for politics? Because that was obviously the big question coming in. Will he make an anti-Trump statement? Will he make an anti-ICE statement? And we can talk about what he did in the finale.
Yeah.
But overall,
yeah,
did this scratch that itch for you?
You know, to me, you know, before the show, we were talking about the Jennifer Lopez and Shakira performance, and there was that moment where there were children in cages, apparently J-Lo had been asked to remove that from the show, and she said no. We didn't get anything that literal, I don't think, in this show. And I'm actually quite surprised. It's an opportunity to really tell a story about a country that is really roiling right now. And
our country.
This country. Yes, the one we are in.
Yeah.
And I think to say the only thing that's bigger than hate is love, like all of those things, they're nice things. They're maybe even true things in some settings. But it is not the same thing as speaking candidly about an ongoing, long-running trauma in this country.
Yeah, and that moment, so at the end, before they play DTMF, the title track from the album that, mm-hmm, just won Album of the Year at the Grammys, you have Bad Bunny, and he's naming all the Latin American countries. He says, God bless America, mm-hmm, in English.
Shouts out Canada.
Says the United States, says my motherland Puerto Rico in both English and in Spanish. And then he says in Spanish, he says, we're still here. And he spikes the football. I don't think that had the political climax that it might have had on paper, because the visuals were so chaotic, the sound was so chaotic. And then I also missed the musical climax of the DTMF sing-along, which they start on their way out of the stadium, and then for whatever reason, technical or otherwise,
sound cuts off.
The sound cuts off, and you don't get that catharsis. So I don't know. I'm just like, I'm left feeling like there were so many marks to hit, and I don't know that it hit all of them, and I feel slightly unfulfilled as a music fan.
Okay, let's talk about it through this lens, because I think if we were sitting here talking about, you know, a Taylor Swift halftime show, a halftime show by any mainstream white artist, we wouldn't be having this version of this conversation,
of course,
which is in and of itself something to think about, that people don't tend to expect these kinds of political statements from white artists. That said, what degree of fairness is it or was it to say, hey, you have this stage, you are obliged to be overtly political?
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying the world. Like, the fact that that is a narrative that you have, that Bad Bunny as a performer is going headlong into. Is that unfair inherently?
I think everyone played a part in the anticipation of that, including Bad Bunny, who knew that as an artist who's been political throughout all of his career in ways both small and local and much larger. He was set ice out on stage at the Grammys 1 week ago. I think the NFL knows that will they, won't they, this controversy is good for the show. I think there were a lot of eyes on this. Turning Point USA doing their alt halftime show, which may or may not be happening right now. If you're enjoying Ba with a Ba,
up jump the boogie.
Yeah, hit us in the comments. Speaking of the comments, we will be taking questions as we move on.
Absolutely.
Please put all your questions in the chat, our producers will feed us the good ones before we're done here.
Some of the bad ones?
Yeah, maybe some of the bad ones too. We love bad questions.
Yeah.
I just don't think. I hear what you're saying about maybe Taylor Swift wouldn't have any expectations.
Yeah. It's all a straw man argument, but I do kind of wonder. I think the thing that you were saying about him trying to clutter a lot of things into one performance is true. And I do think that, like, maybe the solution is to, in essence, play defense against the most literal and pointed expectation.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure. And there was a lot of personal narrative there, too. You know, he says, always believe in yourself when he gives the kid the gram. You know, there was good vibes. I think overall the message was one of good vibes, and he didn't want to bring the party down. Except by having Lady Gaga. So should we go through the set list?
Let's go through the set list. Titi Me Pregunto, sort of like, if I would have bet money on the opening song, I feel like I probably would have put money.
Didn't put any Kalshi or Polymarket money.
No. Obviously, start high.
Sure.
Start high energy. Start punchy. Also, like, that's the other thing about a halftime show is there's not a lot of room for subtlety.
Yeah.
And I do think, again, to sort of make the Usher comparison, there were some subtle things happening last year that I feel like if you're watching in a very small way, you're like, oh, he's kind of going off. But in a big way, maybe didn't translate.
Sure.
I do feel a little bit the same here. Like, it's almost like if that exact thing had been a stage play and you were, like, in a Broadway theater watching that, you might be like, this totally makes sense and goes. But the minute you abstract it out to the 75,000 people in the stadium and the billion people watching, kind of gets a little vaporous.
I thought that was a fine opener. As I said, I felt like it took him a minute to get stable on the mic, especially as he's trying to get where he's going. Hearing Pereo Sola. Again, there are these moments of political statement.
100%.
They are sprinkled through Bad Bunny's career, Bad Bunny's music. They're all here. This is a song that is about, misogynist violence in Puerto Rico and in general. It's, you know, Spanish for I'm dancing alone, essentially. I'm grinding alone. Mm-hmm. look, if you are engaged in Bad Bunny or want to be, if this made you curious about him and you're Googling all these things, you're learning a ton. But for a casual viewer, which of which there were, you know, millions, tens of millions watching this, yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you pick up on some of those subtleties. Less subtle moment, I think more people probably picked up on Gasolina.
Gasolina. So
huge reggaeton hit from the aughts.
Yeah. So, you know, Puerto Rico pops up in a number of ways during this set. Obviously, Ricky Martin, one of the great Puerto Rican stars of the 21st century. So Daddy Yankee as well. Gasolina and the crossover of Gasolina truly does set the stage for what Bad Bunny is able to do 10 years or 12 years later. Daddy Yankee had been interviewed maybe 2 months ago.
He's gone Mace mode, right?
Yes.
He's found God.
He has.
He said he doesn't want to perform.
Yeah, he does not. He cannot. He said he'd be open to having a conversation with Bad Bunny perhaps about his choices in life,
sure.
but that he would not be wanting to go back and revisit some of the saucier, more salacious elements of his catalog.
Right.
Look great though in the interview.
Bad Bunny.
Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee.
Looking good.
Looking incredible. Looking incredible. Skin looking great.
He moves through a couple hits quickly there. You get a little taste of Monaco.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, more trap Bad Bunny. And then
not much of that all told.
Yeah, although first half I would say was very reggaeton forward. Mm-hmm. Right. That was the sort of felt like that's the root of things. That's his beginnings. And then it blooms into the Lady Gaga performance, which you want to say more about that? Is that just like a olive branch, like a peace offering to like your most down the middle?
Look,
red
I don't
state,
want to say
flyover state. White
I don't
view.
Want to
I don't know.
Say,
I'm not saying that Lady Gaga is a red state performer, but she is a
in this context
monoculture celebrity.
Look,
dentist office, die with a smile.
I feel like I don't. The narrative about how halftime shows come together historically is the NFL, whoever it is, Roc Nation, any institution doesn't have any specific input. They don't say, you have to do this song, you have to perform with this person, you have to collaborate with so-and-so. So let's take that at its word. I don't know if it's real, but let's take it at its word. That means that Bad Bunny chose that out of any person who he could have share that stage, it's Lady Gaga. And I really remain vexed. It's not a song that is complementary with the Bad Bunny catalog.
Right.
It's not even no matter what percussive elements they added to it.
Sure.
I guess I have to give credit for Lady Gaga for not going too hard in the paint and going over the top and like trying to steal the show.
She didn't
Beyonce Coldplay the thing.
Yes.
You
she
know?
Did not Beyonce Coldplay the thing. Well put.
Yes. But
we're live, by the way, on YouTube.
Yeah. I just
yeah, those you're are, lost
those
for
are,
words.
No, it's like, those are 90 seconds you can't get back.
Yep.
You can't get those
the
seconds back.
Real estate.
It's not a 1 hour set.
Yep.
It's not a 2 hour set.
Yep.
It's a 12 to 13 minute set.
Yep.
That's 90 seconds. I don't know that it's narratively coherent. I'm certainly not musically coherent. And I guess it activates my cynicism, which is to say it's a olive branch or it's a signal to let people know like, hey, here's a person who you acknowledge is like a mainstream white American star who can be on this stage.
Yep.
And it makes sense. I mean, it doesn't actually make sense, but like notionally it makes sense. It didn't feel right.
In the thing.
And especially with Cardi B right there.
Right.
Cardi B literally no exaggeration.
Well, that's what I was going to say. In the fan fiction version of the Lady Gaga cameo, it was Cardi and Bad Bunny doing I Like It,
yep.
Him doing the line paparazzi like I'm Lady Gaga.
And then boom.
Paparazzi by Lady Gaga.
Why
to
not?
Me, the best peak era. This is like it's not a deep cut, but like in terms of those singles from that era, Paparazzi is the one for me. Go when you're done with this, just go type Lady Gaga paparazzi in your little YouTube search. Just watch, do me a favor, watch the paparazzi video.
But subscribe to podcast first.
Yeah. And while you're here, questions in the chat, please. We're going to be getting to those in a few minutes.
I'm Judson Jones. I'm a reporter and meteorologist at the New York Times. For about 2 decades, I've been covering extreme weather, which is getting worse because of climate change. And it's becoming more important to get timely and accurate weather information. That's why we send these customized newsletters, letting you know up to 3 days in advance about extreme weather that could impact you or a place you care about. At The Times, you can be confident that everything we publish is based off the most accurate, scientific, and vetted information available to us. Because we want you to be able to make real-time decisions about how to go about your life. This is the kind of work that makes subscribing to The New York Times so valuable, and it's how you can support fact-based, independent journalism. So if you'd like to subscribe, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Second half of the performance was more DTMF. It was more from the most recent Bad Bunny album. Again, Grammy winning album of the year. First ever in Spanish. Historic album. Great songs. You get Nueva Yol. You get Hawaii, as we mentioned. The most pointed political moment, maybe, is the song from previous to this album. You get Apagón, which is the one that he put out along with a documentary about the blackouts in Puerto Rico. You have him performing alongside others on utility poles to symbolize the power grid in Puerto Rico and its weaknesses.
Yeah, and the song opens up with the dancers at the top of the utility poles getting shocked and sort of falling off the poles. Obviously, they then get back up on the pole and continue the routine. But I thought that was the one moment, no pun intended, but that was the one true political jolt, I thought. I saw that and I said, okay, like, here we are. Like, this is unmistakable what we're talking about here.
But I don't know. Like, again, unmistakable because you've seen the Apagón video. Yes. Like, if this is your introduction to Bad Bunny, and again, I'm not saying that it was his job to hold people's hand. Yeah. Like, I hope out of the 100 million people that watch this, like, some large percentage of them, or a small percentage that's a large raw number, has their curiosity piqued and wants to look more into who was this guy and what is he referring to? What are these symbols I don't get? Like, one thing that's great about music in any language and hip-hop and rap descendant music in general is that you don't always know what's going on. And as a listener, you want, maybe if you're engaged, you want to figure it out and you might learn something, right? Like, how much of, you know, what amount of books or political figures or whatever have we gotten from listening to music and to again, rap-oriented music in particular. So I hope that that can happen here. But when you say it's
big J. Cole fan energy,
I'm just saying. But that was an earnest moment. Like, I hope
I know.
Some kids'
I'm
mind
scared.
Is blown.
I'm literally scared that I've never seen you so earnest.
But again, I don't think it was unmistakable if you're just trying to see the Patriots get their ass beat.
Wow.
Sorry, that's a football reference.
Yeah. Is that why we're here?
You get Café Con Ron, and then you get Debí Tirar Más Fotos as the outro.
Yep.
How did things end for you? I already said, I just at least would have liked more of the sing-along. I felt like I was robbed of, like, I wanted all those people from the casita back. I wanted Alex Earl belting. Allegedly.
Yeah, are we 100% sure it's Alex Earl? Do we know that?
A lot of people are saying it's Alex Earl. We're live on YouTube, right?
Put it in the chat.
We're fact-checking in real time. If that was an Alex Earl lookalike, tell us in the chat. But be real. Be serious.
Okay, so what I will say is to go back to my thought on the opening couple of minutes of the show, right? Which are, it's Bad Bunny doing a one-person walking tour of Puerto Rican cultural specificity, walled off from the Super Bowl.
Yep.
a literal safe, protected space while being observed by a billion people, but a safe, protected space. Yep. The last 2 minutes are the opposite. Finally, you know, it's building up over the course of the show, but the last 2 minutes reminded me the most, and unfortunately I was not there, but it's the pop out. It's Kendrick's the pop out. It's the whole, everybody's there.
Yeah,
whole
crew's gunplay.
Steve Lacy, the whole, you know, not actually, but you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Every single person is there. And when he's walking off, yes, the sound did cut off when he was walking off out into the tunnel. But there's that moment when everybody kind of like converges on him, all the dancers and friends. And I'm sure we'll find out who every other person in that particular cluster was. But to me, it was both the most open sharing of the night. Obviously, DTMF, to your point, I would love to hear more of the sing along, but I do, you know, I do feel like you kind of knew, you understood. It was implicit in a way. And he's broadcasting it out to the world. And then surrounded by the guys, kind of like arm around neck, running off. Like, yeah. We did that.
Yeah.
So again, pointed counterpoint, I think. Sorry. That's a weird phrase, but a notable counterpoint to the opening of the show.
Sure.
And I think that maybe was the most Super Bowl halftime show bit were those last like 90 seconds.
Again, on paper, but I feel like it didn't quite land on television.
Yeah. Right?
And that's why I would have liked a little more musically from the last, let's call it a minute, right?
Spiritually speaking, is the Super Bowl halftime show a TV performance or a live performance in a state?
100% a TV performance.
100% TV performance. Right? Yes, agree. No, I agree. Yeah, I just, sure. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Earl confirmed in the note.
Great.
Shout out, Kate.
I do want to say the real.
Alex Earl, why? At least we don't have a why.
Oh, do you want me to tell you?
Alarmingly, yes.
Rumored to be dating Tom Brady.
Oh,
you know, like, I don't know why that.
But Tom Brady probably at the Kid Rock thing.
Tom Brady played for the Patriots.
I know, he's an NFL announcer.
So he's probably there at the Super Bowl. Also part owner of the Raiders. We don't have to get into all that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I do want to say we're getting this over the transom. The Truth Social review is in.
Okay.
Our president, Donald J. Trump, says absolutely terrible. One of the worst, capital ever, exclamation point. Makes no sense. Is an affront to greatness. Slap in the face. Something about the stock market, your 401k. And the NFL should replace the ridiculous kickoff rule.
Is that true?
That's
as a non. No, but I'm saying as a non-sports person, is that part of it at least true?
I won't comment on anything in this Truth Social post
okay.
In terms of its veracity or not. Look, that was not a controversial Super Bowl halftime show.
No, you know, it's funny because
it just wasn't.
No, when we filmed a couple days ago about our sort of predictions or anticipations of the show, you said that essentially no matter what happens on stage, there will be a quote unquote controversy in right-wing media tomorrow. Good luck.
Yeah, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Like, you're so mad that Tonita from the Williamsburg Caribbean Social Club was there. That, okay, just for anyone, non-New York listeners, people who didn't Google right away, who was the elderly woman serving him a drink in and around Nueva York, that was, I believe her name is Maria Kay, a.k.a. Tonita, and she is the den mother owner of this Latin social club. Great spot. Bad Bunny popped in there a couple times, essentially making it so no one can ever go there again.
Yeah.
But thanks. Very cool that she got to appear on stage with him. John, any final thoughts before we take a few questions here, YouTube live? If you're listening to this the day after, thank you for bearing with us. We've never really done this before. Parting words.
No, I mean, I do want to... I sympathize with your frustration.
I'm not frustrated.
I don't sympathize with your frustration.
I'm just, it just wasn't my favorite halftime show, and my expectations were very high.
Yeah, I think.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was like, it operated at a level just like it was, it floated just above grounded. It was, it moved fast. There were a lot of parts. There weren't a lot of specific moments where I was like, this is happening, like right now, this thing. Like, strangely, the Gaga and the Ricky Martin moments were way more grounded, at least like televisually, than a bunch of the Bad Bunny moments. And that, I think, is probably a missed opportunity.
It looked like a party. It didn't feel to me like a party. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't get my...
And you're outside.
Look,
you're outside, look, legendarily.
Yeah, my abuelita's birthday party, 90th birthday party over the summer. Like, you know, yeah. We were dancing. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel, look, I'm here in the office.
Because we're in the New York Times
office on a Sunday night.
Look,
like, I understand the barrier to wanting to stand up and dance is high.
Yeah.
I just wasn't adrenalized by it in the way that I wanted to be, which is not to say that it was a bad performance or that I'm disappointed that it happened. Don't get it twisted. Like, Bad Bunny performing at the Super Bowl halftime show is both meaningful and cool, and the songs are great.
Let me ask a question though. Just as I said before, Cardi B is literally right there.
Yeah.
Why is the Die with a Smile slot not I Like It?
That will be the question rattling around in my mind when we go to sleep tonight.
There was like,
and when we wake up
over
tomorrow.
Time, like in past, there was like some tension between Balvin and Bad Bunny purportedly. I don't think that's that real. And it's kind of, if it was real, it's not real anymore.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to tell a different kind of story.
Yeah.
I candidly was surprised. That said, look, you mentioned how this is in essence an updating / reframing of what was happening at the Puerto Rico residency. I did like, I don't want to say it's hubris, but I like the idea of like, yeah, I got Cardi. She's just standing there.
That's cool.
She's having a great time.
Karol G too.
Yeah. Just having
Jessica
a great
Alba
time.
Jessica Alba too.
Jessica. Cool. Wait, beauty product, like doing the natural beauty product. Like, I don't know. But that in and of itself, like every night, like much like, God forbid Morgan Wallen walkouts or Drake guests or whatever, every night you would get videos from the residency and you'd be like, oh, that person's there. That person's there. Like, all those people there simply to see and soak in Bad Bunny. And I think there's something to be said of, even on this huge stage, Bad Bunny saying, you know what? Like, I want that energy here too. I would have found it a little less vexing if he had just done 12 minutes purely solo.
Totally. All right. We're going to hit a couple questions from the chat. Keep them coming.
Chat.
We'll do this for a little bit.
W's in the chat?
We got
W's
a question.
In the chat?
Yeah, W's in the chat.
W's in the chat. All right,
there. Favorite visual moment in the show? You have one that stuck out to you?
I think it was probably the El Apagón, the opening.
Up on the thing.
Up on the utility poles, the dancers, sparks flying and sort of falling and then caught by the wires and then shimmying back up to the top and turning that into a routine. And then Bad Bunny himself climbing to the top of one of the poles or an adjacent pole, really taking in and surveying the scope of the field and the scope of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Again, for a show that starts very much like I'm whispering, like me and my friends are whispering.
Yeah.
In that moment, you had this whole opportunity. Bad Bunny is like, it's almost like, I don't know what parts of a ship are called. The bow of a ship?
You need to watch more Below Deck.
Yeah, it's true. Like the thing in the front, is that the bow?
Sure.
Whatever. Like you're standing in the front, you're kind of like, da, 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 da. When he climbs to the top of that pole, it's really like, I'm seeing the world.
Yeah.
What about you?
I got to go with Tonita. Like that was just a cool,
great moment.
That was just a cool little moment.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. You know, a lot of this performance was if you know, you know.
Real talk.
But that one is New York specific.
Mm-hmm.
We got a question from Gala Prudent 6194 about the
Gala.
Frog.
Shout out Gala.
You know that?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I know Gala. Yeah.
Shout out
What's
to
up, Gala.
Gala? Asked about the frog, which has become a sort of mascot for Bad Bunny's album. It is a crested toad known in Puerto Rico as Sapo Concho. That's an endangered animal. Threatened by overdevelopment on the island. And so he's made this cartoon version of it that sort of stood in for, again, more local Puerto Rican politics. But good question.
Anti-pepe.
Thanks for shouting that out. Mojo918 says, could the visual intensity partially come from an anxiety about entertaining a non-Spanish-speaking audience? We don't speak Spanish, but the visuals communicated a lot for us. I think that's a fair point. I think like...
Oh, that the sort
the
of...
kinetic the, movement is...
Was to be kind of like post-language.
Sure.
Or pre-language.
Sure. Even.
Like our... Yeah. That is a... You know, we don't want to... Forget what Bad Bunny said at the press conference a couple of days ago, which is that I know I said that you have to learn Spanish to enjoy the show. You don't have to learn Spanish. You just have to
learn to
be ready to dance.
Yep.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be easy. You know, I think hearing him say that, watching that press conference, I was wondering, is that just the thing you say at the Ebro and Zane Lowe press conference just
right.
to kind of get to the end of the Ebro and Zane Lowe sure. press conference. But I do think maybe that's an interesting way to think of it. This is maybe more a visual halftime show than it is a oral, A-U-R-A-L, mm-hmm. halftime show. It's interesting thinking.
That goes to another question. Infamous Chanel asked what we thought of the sugarcane fields at the beginning, which I think you touched on earlier, this idea of... You call it walled off, I think you said,
yeah.
but I also think it's like protected, right?
Yeah,
like
definitely
sort
protected.
Of like, you know, you're both in my motherland and in my zone.
Yeah.
You know, while also, of course, nodding back to the history of sugarcane in Puerto Rico, et cetera, et cetera. We got a couple questions from people saying, how does this compare to Kendrick's show last year? I thought the intent was
I kept
similar.
Usher last year, my bad. Usher 2 years ago.
Oh, Usher was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My bad. RE5678 says, TBH, I thought the intent was similar, but I like Bad Bunny's better as a Kendrick Lamar fan. Also busy, the Kendrick's one.
Yes.
Very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kendrick's music tends to be a lot more bop, 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 like... You know, in your face in that way without the grooves, not as many grooves as Bad Bunny. There was a lot going on symbolically with the video game thing, the Uncle Sam narration. It's true that it had this sort of like narrative scaffolding similar to what I think they were going for with the wedding, with the couple stuff that didn't really land. I don't know. These two performances, compare and contrast.
Yeah, I think, look, you can't assess the Kendrick performance outside of the framework of the Drake beef, right? You can't assess it. And
because it was all leading up to.
Yeah, like it's really like it's sort of the pièce de résistance at the end of this like very long, dynamic struggle of titans, right? I think that no matter how much narrative was overlaid onto the Kendrick show last year, the Kendrick show was a one-man show. Didn't matter if other people showed up. It didn't matter what the narrative was. Didn't matter what was on a video screen. Didn't really matter what the dancers did, really. This is a hero's narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think the Bad Bunny show is designed as a hero's narrative. I think it's designed as collective storytelling. And so I think even if there might have been some optic similarities between the two, I don't think that the intent was the same.
I do think when it comes to the if you know, you know aspect, there's a lot to chew on in both symbolically mm-hmm. and to unpack and to try to decode. And I do think we're in that moment of popular culture,
sure.
which is like everything needs an explainer. Everything needs a breakdown. There was a week's worth of that.
Grok, is this true?
There was a week's worth of that with Kendrick. And I think there will be as much with Bad Bunny. Like everything we've sort of... done a quick gloss on.
Yeah, and
you can write a whole blog post about any one of those
or local... even things we might admit. I mean, you know, this
sure,
is...
and we'll be finding out more as soon as we log off.
Yes.
In the morning, someone will catch some other little reference. You know, again, like I think the 64 stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably pretty pointed. The power lines, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Donitas, like all these little things, like each one of these things is going to be piece of content. So I do think insofar as these last couple really have legs that will last beyond tonight and beyond the game, I think that that's like a kind of a hallmark of a lot of the Roc Nation shows so far. Mm. Like Rihanna, obviously there was a lot of people guessing what the symbolism was there with her pregnant. You know, I think they want these to have Easter eggs. I think that we are in the time of Easter eggs, and that has, especially in popular music, and that has landed at the Super Bowl halftime show. John, we're almost done.
Are we? We could go for hours.
We've been here forever.
I don't get tired.
We're going to be here longer next time we do this, right? We're just going to stream and stream and stream and stream.
That's absolutely
until we
correct.
Can't stream no more.
That's correct.
It's 9:23 p.m.
Yeah.
Someone tell me what the score of the game is. before we go, I think we have to have a snack.
We sure do.
And maybe we'll take a final question or two while we finish up.
Great. Let's do it. So we had potluck here at the office.
Yep. Sunday night crew.
I have to be really candid and say I did not expect the level of effort that went into the potluck. I brought Popeyes, which is the extent of my cooking capacities.
Jeff Ahaza, stop putting questions in the chat. Sophie doesn't know that we know you.
Wait, what is Jeff?
Jeff's asking a lot of questions. I'm skipping them all.
Jeff Wilding in the chat?
Yeah, he says, do y'all speak Spanish? FR.
See?
I'm not fluent, but I was raised in a Spanish-speaking household.
That's a very serious answer to a very unserious Jeff. Question.
Yeah. That's a Rolling Stone staff writer, Jeff Ahaza, and not doing his job, just watching our live blog and
file your
commenting.
Jeff, file your copy.
Okay. I didn't have time to cook today for the potluck. I wanted to make
a buffalo chicken dip.
I was going to make a buffalo chicken dip from scratch.
Cooking?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. What do you know?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. It's an honest question.
I went to the store. I bought some chips and some dip. I got these late night loaded taco Doritos.
I have seen these.
I thought that these were appropriate.
Yeah.
Because we're here after hours.
I mean, it's, you know, in color, it's similar. It's kin to the spicy sweet chili or sweet spicy chili
like a purple
Doritos
bag.
Yeah, purplish bag.
If you're tuning into Popcast for the first time, thank you. Like and subscribe anywhere you get your podcast, but definitely on YouTube where we're live right now. Every episode of Popcast ends with a snack test. Usually we have a guest taste them with us.
I want to say I bumped into someone on the subway yesterday as I remain carless.
Sure.
I was on the subway. I bumped into someone who said they had watched the Erykah Badu. And how do I know they watched the Erykah Badu? They watched all the way to the end and they said, I like what she did with the chips.
She threw the snack.
She threw them at me.
Because they were so bad.
Yes.
Because
they were vegan. So committed viewer, shout out Du.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but did we use that as the cold open to the episode? I can't remember where
Neither
we landed
I.
on
okay.
the edit. Go back and watch that, Erykah Badu right. interview. Late night loaded taco Dorito. They smell spicy for you, I'm just going to say. Oh, John and I love junk food, so we always try a rare flavorful, sometimes less flavorful in the case of Erykah Badu.
Sometimes
snack.
Less rare.
Here we are. And our audio listeners hate the ASMR, but I know that the ones who don't say they hate it, love it. They love hearing us crunch. And Nick, our sound guy, is laughing behind the booth.
I want to say, like, if you have made it this far into this podcast or any podcast and if you have a quarrel with the snack segment, you really need to look in the mirror and ask, are you really a fan? That's a serious thing. That's a you thing.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, geez.
I have to admit that I've already had these.
I mean, it does smell like a loaded taco. I mean, you know, they do nail the smell.
Yeah.
You've had these. Okay.
I have. I think they're good. There's like a grill flavor to them, you know?
Yeah. It's actually not that close to the spicy sweet chili Dorito. It's closer, I think, to just straight OG.
Yeah.
It's just a red Dorito.
With taco seasoning, like, you know, the packet that says taco seasoning.
Yeah.
I find it quite underwhelming. I think it's really accurate. Like, I taste meat on the grill, but it's not, it needs more tang or something. I want more, like, avocado flavor.
You know what it is?
Lime.
This is, all right, not to get into a total disquisition about Doritos, but like, if I may, just for a second, the fundamental flaw of Doritos No.
I won't hear of such a thing.
No. I mean, continue. I love Doritos.
Sure.
I love Cool Ranch Doritos. I love regular Doritos. I love spicy sweet chili Doritos. Sorry, it's not an ad. I do love Doritos. Yeah. But there is a fundamental flaw, which is I believe unadorned, the chip itself is not that exciting from a flavor perspective.
No, you need the flavor to cover the chip.
Right. I am getting too much chip here.
I agree. There's not enough flavor.
And there's literally four loaded top. Like, yeah. I should be overwhelmed by the flavor.
Yeah.
And instead, what I'm getting is the kind of like almost like woodenness of the chip.
Sure.
The minute I get through the initial seasoning burst. I'm not mad. Like,
6 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to say 5.5. Like, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Like, don't trade in your favorites.
No, it's a limited edition for a reason. I don't think we'll see it again. John, before we close.
Do we have more questions?
Question from Sophie Erickson. Our producer.
Are you guys done?
Yeah. Yes.
Literally.
We're also getting reports live on the feed that the wedding was real, which shout out to Macklemore. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
If you were watching.
The VMAs like 9 years ago.
Grammys? Sure. Whatever. Macklemore did it. Macklemore did it first.
Like Soldier Play.
Sophie Erickson wants to know, who do we want to see next year?
Who do we want to see or who will we see?
Who do we want to see?
Obviously, I'd be extremely happy to see Taylor. I'd be extremely happy to see Drake.
It's time.
What do I
Drake and Taylor together?
What do
Drake
I
Drake and Taylor versus?
Concert of the decade? Of the century? What do I think we will see?
Benson Boone?
No.
I know where you're going with
You know.
This.
You know. It's, it. Yeah, it's just Morgan Wallen.
You really think they're going to go country?
I do.
Like Jelly Roll, Morgan Wallen, Lainey Wilson, like Extravaganza? Didn't people say that last year? Oh, it's rap, and then they got to swing to country, and then we got Bad Bunny, so.
I mean, it's bad, but I mean, it's still top five performers of the current moment.
Sure.
But I think once you're out of that.
And the pendulum has to swing.
And also, it's like, if you don't get Taylor, really, what is the other option? Unless Jay-Z himself does it. Which,
Jay-Z
in which
and Beyonce?
Case, phenomenal.
Act three?
We'll fly out for it.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's cool country.
Okay.
Next year.
All right. I'm going Jay-Z, Beyonce. Why not?
Great. That's our show. Every episode, first of all, second live stream in a week.
Yep.
We're starting to like this. It's damaging probably to our personal health and also to our staff. We appreciate everyone who's been here with us Sunday night tonight and last Sunday night for the Grammy live stream. We will continue to live stream in myriad forms throughout the year. Turn on your alerts. Check back in for that. Every episode of Popcast is at nytimes.com/popcast. We're on YouTube at Popcast. Get your clips at Instagram and TikTok at Popcast. I'm John. That's Joe. Credits and link in bio. We're out.